Thank you so much, Pastor Minter, and it's a delight for me to be back again tonight at the banquet. How many of you have seen me before? How many of you have not seen me before? How many of you wish you'd never see me again? I said that in one church, and they said, why don't you finish speaking and we'll decide. So, I come from the land of India, and had to learn English, so my mother sent me to school. I was a street kid in some ways. And then I learned a few of the languages there. Then I went to seminary, and picked up some other Bible languages. So sometimes I don't know what I'm saying. But I hope my accent is clear. Is this okay? We have to manage. It's the only one I have. So... thank you so much for making me feel at home. And many of you last night came up and shared with me and Dorothy, and particularly on behalf of OTAN, Outreach to Asia Nationals, as their new executive director. I want to thank your church. Some of you told me about times when you came up to Winchester and actually built the head office, the home office we have there. Your labor of love has served to reach many, many among the unreached of the Asian world. OTAN works in restricted access countries, and we do just one thing. We make disciple makers exponentially. We work among the least or unreached people groups and within these countries where traditional missionaries can't get into. So like North Korea, the underground church in China, where I was earlier. And then last month I was in Bhutan, where most Americans can't come except if you want to, you know, trek and track, Bill. You can come if you want to do trekking. But you like the flat golf course, so I don't know. Even if you do come, you need an escort. So these are some of the countries: Vietnam, Cambodia, Laos, Indonesia, Pakistan, and other countries. So pray for us and continue. We want to thank you for what you do. Tonight I have a message, and there's the PowerPoint. My wife's not here tonight. She works at Georgetown, and she's into this techie stuff, Ed. So I've got, you know, sometimes I've done lectures where we have, you know, so many points and with no power in the speaking. Then I've heard some preachers, they got power, but they don't make any points. So to cover both bases, I brought PowerPoints for you today, so we can work that out. If you have your Bibles, I want to talk to you. By the way, our Pastor Bill and his heart over the years for missions has impressed me. I met with him twice over lunch, just getting to sense the missional heartbeat of this church. And some of you tweeted what I mentioned, that the success of a church is measured not by its seating capacity, but by its sending capacity. And I want to thank you for the number of people you've thrust forth into the harvest. And I think God honors those who honor Him. The purpose of this missions conference, Pastor Hurley mentioned to us, is twofold: to encourage our members to be missional, not just in their thinking, but in their very activities, day by day, to bloom wherever God's planted you. But also it is to honor our missionaries like we did tonight, and to see them from the front line coming to the front desk where we are, and seeing them as an extension of this global enterprise called Missio Dei, the mission of God that you and I are called out to. Coming from India, I often remind churches in America, from America, we've outsourced almost everything. Don't you dare outsource global missions. Amen. Global missions is given to the Church of Jesus Christ over all the nations. And that is our initiative and prerogative, to be involved in global missions. And so as coming from India, let me say that's something which is non-negotiable. The more you thrust people out, human resources, the more God will bring in people for the harvest. Well, I want to share with you a message. We are nearing Christmas, at least beginning to feel like that for me. Christ has come, so we must go. And I want to encourage our missionaries and point out to the church as a fellow missionary some of the hardships we face and where and why we feel despair, the loss of hope. I want to read one verse, maybe two verses, Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 13 and 14. Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 13 and 14. While you're turning to Isaiah 7, 13 and 14, let me say this about my Bible. Though the cover is worn and some pages are torn and places bear traces of tears, yet more precious than gold is this book, worn and old, that can shatter and scatter my fears. As I prayerfully look in this precious old book, many treasures and pleasures I see, many promises of love from my Father above, who is nearest and dearest to me. This book is a guide, is a friend by my side. It will lighten and brighten my day. And each promise I find soothes and gladdens my mind as I preach it and teach it each day. To this book I will cling, of its worth I will sing, though many crosses and losses be mine. For I cannot despair, though surrounded by care, while possessing this blessing divine. Great God, with wonder and with praise on all your works I look, yet your wisdom, power, and grace shine brightest in your book. The stars that in their courses roll have much instruction given, but only your word instructs my soul on how to get to heaven. The word of God. We need to learn it, love it, so that we can live it out on the mission field. Isaiah 7, verse 13. Again the Lord spoke to Ahaz. Ask the Lord your God for a sign, whether in the deepest depths or in the highest. But Asa said, I will not ask. Then Isaiah said, hear now, you house of David, is it not enough to try the patience of humans? Will you try the patience of my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. And we are familiar with this phrase. For this virgin Alma will conceive and give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel. Emmanuel. Which means what? God is with, not despicable me, but us. God is with us. Church as community, and missions as our prerogative. Christ had come, we must go. I want to talk a few things, and if you could quickly move to the whole slides, we've got time-wise. You can go to the first. That's my family. Next slide, brother. Yeah, there you go. I just want to recap very quickly. For those of you who were not here yesterday, the theme from yesterday, from hope for this world, I shared with us that this hope that the world desperately needs is couched from God himself. It is not something that is derived from expectations and concoctions from here below. It is hope in God. This is a hope not only that is from God, but in God. But that hope is the hope of the gospel, the good news, the gospel of truth, from a God who cannot lie, so we can rely on him. A God who had foreordained, planned, had purposes to give us hope and a future. This God gave us the hope of the gospel in the person and the work of Jesus Christ. And Paul argues and presents to them the whole case in Romans 10. How can people actually call on the name of God if they've never heard that? And they haven't believed it. And how can they believe if they haven't heard it? Unless someone tells them. And how can someone tell them unless we have sent them? That's where we get the word missions. But missionaries often face times and situations of very discouraging and despairing cases. How can we hope? How can we continue to share this message? And I believe this hope is ours, not because of our efforts and endeavors or strategies and philosophies, but it's precisely because this hope is the hope of glory that Jesus is in us and needs to be shared among others. Christ in us, the hope of glory. There are two aspirations, perhaps even three, for us as human beings. And the first is for fellowship. People long for fellowship. Loneliness and despair is the antithesis of hope. And today we live in a world where we have so many time-saving devices and yet no time to do anything that's important. Isn't that interesting? We have so much to live with in our consumeristic world, but so little to live for, a lack of purpose. Hope gives us. I hope you looked and watched Billy Graham's 95th birthday message yesterday, My Hope America. What a powerful message. He knows where he came from. He knows why he's here. And he knows where he's going. And he says, how about you? That's hope. We live in a world where people have no understanding. I was listening to a lecture from a philosopher, and someone asked him, he too is some double PhD. I've got two daughters. One of them calls a PhD a permanent head damage. Anyway, so this guy was there. Someone asked this philosopher, he said, what is life? And he describes life. He says, life is like an onion. He says it has many, many layers, like the leaves of an onion. He says, you peel one layer at a time, and then in the middle, you're left with nothing, but only tears in your eyes. And they gave him a PhD. I mean, you know, this kind of philosophies, often the Colossians, yesterday we saw, just like to grapple with this. But we have a sure and steadfast hope. We have a blessed hope, because that is not only a blessed hope, but it is a glorious hope, because Jesus himself, who is in us by his Spirit, will appear. And everyone who has this hope in them, 1 John 3 and verse 2, purifies themselves and shares that love with others too. So that's what we looked at, the message of the gospel and our mission to go. Next slide. And I shared with you, I presented Spider-Man for those, because a lot of young people there. At least in the meeting, and I said, you know, the time when Peter Parker came to a place where he just ripped off that Spider-Man shoe and he throws it in the garbage can, he feels that's worthless. Our missionaries, those whom we are praying for, trust me, often feel like giving up, to throwing in the towel, to giving up. Say, you know what? These natives are corrupt. They are resistant. They just don't care. It's not going to work. You see, how do you know? Because I am one. I do this now. I enjoyed myself when I was a professor and head of the department. I could write books and argue in journals and nobody even, you know, bothered. I love grading my students and making them fail, you know. Now I fail and, you know, nothing happens. 2 weeks ago I was teaching at Liberty University, their intensive course, and I still remember. I won the Sumner Wemp Award when I was here some 30 years ago. Some of you are looking and say, but you don't look so old, don't you? I was born at a very young age, and but I still remember. Won all this, and I went back. The first thing that happened to me in India is they beat me up. The Hindutva, the Bharatiya Janata Party, beat me up because I was building this prayer hall. And I lay there in that Maidan, in that field, bleeding. And I thought to myself, you know what? Elmer Towns never taught me what I have to do after they beat me up. Nobody told me church planting strategy will end up like that. And many times we feel like giving up. Relationships break. And this happens. You feel guilty. Uncle Ben had been killed and he was very guilty. MJ, his fiance, didn't understand who he is. And maybe you're here tonight in our missions conference and you feel like giving up. You had made a commitment. Maybe you still linger over the fact that perhaps God is calling you. My prayer, our prayer is that today you would hear that voice and respond to that voice. That you will realize, like Peter Parker realized, it's not about him. It's about fighting crime in New York City. And when he realizes that, zoop, you know, that coat disappears from the police station and he's back swinging. And my prayer is that missionaries, we want to encourage you in our missions conference, that you would go back to the field, charred. And those of us who are here, who remain, who pray, we'll be energized to hold the ropes for them in those difficult situations. Next slide. I want to talk to you today about hoping, but hoping for these three things very quickly: divine deliverance, divine likeness, and divine fellowship. I'll come to that. We're living in a world where everybody is looking for the next best thing, something new, something different. But you know, Have we ever lived in the moment? Be present to what's happening here and now. God wants us to see hope not as some prospect ideology, but by a present reality. God is with us and He's at work. It's not what He's going to do. God's will is in the present tense. What He wants to do in and through us to make a difference today. We are all looking for meaningful relationships. But this title, Emmanuel, for me is a title. By the way, it's not a name. It's a caption in Hebrew. This caption in Hebrew literally means God, Yahweh, the strong one, El, is with us. And as Rest in Bible Church, as we sit here for this missionary banquet around these tables, let us surround ourselves with the knowledge that God is among us. He is with us and He is for us. Next slide. Divine fellowship. The real needs that underline, I wrote here in our rat race for fame and fortune, is true companionship. People are looking for security, for significance in our world today. The human cycle demonstrates it. Infants cry when they are born for their parents. Children and toddlers want to play and be accepted by others. Young people allow the peers to determine their self-worth. Young adults look for companions, for boyfriends, girlfriends, some kind of a partner to spend their lives in. Middle-aged people want affirmation from their colleagues at work. Even older folks would rather watch their babies than sit in an old age home and die. Everybody wants companionship. And this is my first point, that Emmanuel is this wonderful companionship. Let me go back to this, to the situation and what's happening there. Israel needed this. This assurance that Yahweh, the Lord God, was with them. You see, God moved with them in the wilderness, often assuring them that He was with them. There was this manifold presence of Yahweh in the Shekinah that came out of the tabernacle. So that you can tell your neighbors, hey, where's your God? And you could point to the tabernacle and say, you see that? God is with us. God has always wanted to be with us. But be with us for a purpose. What could that be? Many times I read that Israel wandering in the desert would feel very insecure, homeless. They would feel powerless when they are defeated by their enemies. Leviticus 26 and verse 11 and 12, God assures them, I am going to be with you. Moses exhorts them, do not be terrified by your enemies, for the Lord your God who is among you is a great and an awesome God. Deuteronomy 7 and verse 21. Many times Israel felt rejected in exile, Babylon. Yet in the midst of all those socio-political fears, they could hope in God's deliverance and salvation to come. And God did deliver them out of exile. Haggai records that, chapter 1 and verse 3, chapter 2 and verse 4. Several times, they say God reinforces the promise, I am with you. Don't be afraid. But I think the word Emmanuel, in its missional context, as we represent a God who is not distant but near, who is imminent, is there for us, we must remember that Emmanuel, in His ultimate form, was made flesh. Mary. We're coming to the season. That salvation was offered. When Joseph was afraid to take Mary, the angel came to Joseph in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 23, the New Testament understanding of Emmanuel, and said, listen, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because Mary had understood the message when the angel appeared to her and said, the Lord is with you. You remember that? Joseph was there to put her away. He said, listen, don't be afraid, because you will call His name Jesus. For He shall save His people from His sins. He shall be called title Emmanuel, which means God is with us. The ultimate God with us was when Jesus, the manifestation of God in flesh, came to be with us. As the hymn says, pleased with man, as man to dwell, Jesus, our Emmanuel. Missionaries, tonight, no matter where you are, what you face, and I understand it. I've been in prison. I've been held in custody as I was traveling in Turkey. And it's scary. Some of the countries where OTAN work, it's really concerning. Many times I leave my home and daughters and I don't know if I'd come and see them again. It's all part of the cost of the call. But it's in this midst we understand God is with us. And did you know that the expression, I am with you, is couched right there as a rider? No, but as the very propeller for the Great Commission. Where Matthew 28, we read in verse 20, after he says, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am what? With you. I am the great I am. Ego, Eimi. This refers back to Exodus chapter 4, when Moses says, who am I going to tell Pharaoh sent me? And he says, God says, go tell Pharaoh that I am sent you. Bad English, but good theology. The one who always was, who is, and shall ever be, is with us. The Lord of angel armies is with us. Where? When we sit on the couch and eat popcorn and watch television, right? No. As you go, in the missional movement is the empowering presence. The I am, the Old Testament I am, is now present by the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ with us, which is the missional spirit. John chapter 6 and verse 24, Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Chapter 7 in verse 37, he talks about the water of life that satisfies. After every sign is the statement of the I am. John chapter 8 and verse 12, I am the light of the world. John chapter 10 and verse 9, I am the door, enter by me. John chapter 14 and verse 6, I am the way, the truth and the life. John chapter 11, verse 24 and 25, I am resurrection and life. And when the Jews argued, he said, before Abraham was. Bad English, good theology. I am with you. Let me encourage you. Hope is ours because I am, Emmanuel, is with us. Israel, Mary, Joseph, the hope of all nations. Is with us. Let me show you some pictures of Nepal very quickly. This is Nepal. We traveled. The guy at the bottom with the Florida Gator hat is our ministry manager, Hari. He doesn't know what F stands for. We had to tell him that. But Prakash is the younger guy we are mentoring in order to take up the ministry, the second generation. Next slide. You know, when I went to the... This I took from from my aeroplane. This is Mount Everest. This is the highest peak in the world. It's breathtaking. Did you know? This is Mount Everest. But if you look at the regime at the bottom, I looked there and I saw there were people living there. The foothills of the Himalayas. And I said to my, how did they get, did this drop from heaven? I mean, how did they get there? Inquired a little more about the tribes. They eat berries, you know, wild berries, and they have goats, they have mutton, they milk the goats and make some kind of a curds, and they survive. You know, what's the next question that hit me? Not how did they get there, what's the next question that came to my mind? Has the gospel got to them? That's a scary thought for a missionary. So I went back to boot camp, next slide, and I met the team that we were training for church planting. And there they were, husbands were. We trained. These are Nepalese. And nationals are reaching nationals. That's why World Missions has to work in partnership. I mean, I was in Maine. And I came from Maine to Chantilly. And you know, by the way, ladies, can you grow mangoes in Maine? Pardon? Can you grow mangoes in Maine? The answer is yes, but it's not worth it. I mean, you've got to do something that's natural. What is happening there? We need to work together with nationals to see this thing happening. Because it's partnership and network. Ask the computer guys. They'll tell you they're into networks and partnerships. Why can't the church partner with other? Well, we sing it, you know, to live above with saints we love, that'll be glory. But to live below with some saints we know, no, that's another story. We need to partner. There are new things happening. I went and I challenged them. I said to them, you know, who would go to those people? And when one Gurkha, one Nepali native, Sherpao, he stood up. He said, Dr. Chris, you train me. I will go to those people.
And I'll tell them about Jesus. And I'll plant a church among them. I love those people. I mean, last night we had Brent and Faith give their testimony. I was sitting there and thinking, my goodness, they should join OTAN. I mean, we want people daredevil. We want the bungee jumping type, you know? I mean, my daughter wants to do bungee jumping. I said, why do you want to do that? They put you in a rubber band and throw you down. She said, Dad, that's cool. I said, oh, my goodness, okay, you know, I love you. Say hi to Jesus or something. I mean, we want people to do this. Next slide. You want to see a picture of the guy? That's the guy. Right now, he is going to those places, telling them about Jesus, making disciples, planting churches. You know why? One confidence, Emmanuel, God is with what? Us. What a joy. Next slide. And they honor you, by the way. These are topis and shawls they put on you too. It's an amazing honor to serve our nationals. Next slide. The second thing I want us to look at quickly is this God is not only there with us, this God is for us. If God be for us, Romans 8:38, who can be against us? And church, as we go out in the name of Jesus, no matter where we are, and by the way, we are going to suffer in America sooner than later, persecution in some form. I was at Trinity Baptist teaching, and that's where Tim Tebow graduated. I saw Tim Tebow's dad, Robert. And you know, the things that happen, even in America, if you stand for your faith, people are out there to get you. So it's different forms of persecution, but whosoever lives godly shall suffer persecution. It's tough. It has to be. It's the very essence of being missional. It's because we are swimming against the current. It's easier. That's how you know the difference between a dead fish and a live fish. You're dead, you go along with the current. Missionaries swim against them. That's why we honor our missionaries. They swim against the current. They move out of their comfort zone, doing what others don't, won't, and can't. This is a great story because Emmanuel literally means the strong one. El is with you. And you can go home and read the context because very interesting. Ahaz wants to make this. He's the king of Judah, right? And then Syria comes. And he's like really, really scared. So you know what he does? Instead of trusting God, he goes and makes an ally and with the king of Assyria. And God gets very upset. That's in that context, God saying, no, I will take care of it. You don't have to trust other means. You got me, the God of all resources. And folks, this is the God of all resources. Because the word strength, the word comfort implies strength. If you look at the Latin translation of com, whenever you see the prefix com, it means with. Like, you know, comforter. Fort means strength. To be there to strengthen us. If you're discouraged today, let me encourage you. God is with us to strengthen us. His presence is an empowering presence. That is why we can go and do missions. Missions is possible because the power of God is at work within us. This sign for unto you is born this day in the city of David. This sign was given. Emmanuel, God is with us. But I go back to the lowly shepherds in Luke chapter 2 and verse 18. This shall be a sign unto you. You'll find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes laying in a manger. But this good news is of glad tidings for who? For all peoples. For all the nations. We can't keep it to ourselves, the shepherd said. We must go and tell everybody. That is the joy of serving Jesus Christ. We not only have companionship, which gives us hope. We have hope because this companionship is actually a comfort and a strength in times of trouble and crisis. A very present help in time of trouble. Who can separate us from the love of God? Verse 31 talks about us being hypernikon, more than conquerors through him who loved us. The love of God shed abroad in our hearts constrains us, but it is the same love which we have that nothing can separate us from. You want to experience more of the love of God? Get involved in missions. And that love will spill from us to others and transform their lives. Another story I want to tell you very quickly. This is Arthur MacArthur. Arthur is here with me. And when I went home, I put these slides in. This is the country of Laos. One of the most socialistic countries that bars Christian mission. Next slide.
how will the commission be expedited? Here's Arthur and myself. We actually carried food packets. This was given by the World Health Organization. But we use these to share the gospel inside Laos. You know there's a church in Laos because the window, they've broken pane so that it makes the sign of the cross. They're all in house churches. We went and we met one of the pastors and his family. What a great story. You know, this pastor is very interesting. He used to sell, you know what moonshine is? Okay. All right. It's some kind of an alcoholic drink that they make in the villages. He used to do that. Big business. His whole house was there to make this. And he would take it in this bandy, that little truck. He would put these big barrels and go and distribute it to the villagers. Villagers will have fight. They get drunk. He came to know Christ. His life was totally transformed. You know what happened? He stopped making that and supplying the villagers. And they got mad at him. They said, well, why aren't you bringing the stuff? We need it. He says, no, I can't do it. I have another spirit within me. So what spirit do you have within you? He says, well, it's God's spirit. And tells him about Christ. And that house, which used to make the moonshine, the alcohol stuff, is now the local church. But you know what excited me? Today he uses that little bandy, that truck, to go and bring children and women who can't walk to church. That's his bus ministry. He buses people in to church. I tell you what, this God who is with us is also for us. Church, let's say this. God is with us, number one. Second, God is for us. He is for us. Who can be? There's hope. There's hope. This hope is there for us to extend to the world. Next slide. I want to show you quickly that this is this side of the Mekong River and the Thailand side. You see the Mekong River? The other side is Laos, barren. But we bring them over and we train them. Next slide. We feed them in the restaurant. Look at them eating. They've never seen food like that. You should see the guys stand in an elevator. They've never been in an elevator. They're like, wow, this is going up. And there with all the Buddhists, these are brothers going back trying to win them to Jesus Christ. I've got one more point very quickly. This is where training. Sorry, the slide is not good, but that's intentional because many of these slides, we don't want to show the faces of our nationals because sometimes there was one church I was and gave the PowerPoint. The guy got excited. He put it on Facebook. And two of our pastors in China got arrested. So, I mean, these guys pay the price. It's amazing. So, next slide. The last point I want to share is God is not only with us. The God who is with us is for us. And here's my last point for tonight. The Lord who is with us and for us is also what? He's among us. Tonight as we celebrate this banquet, we go with hope because this is not a God who is so privatized like we are in the Western world. He's a God who himself is community. Did you realize this? The Christian, the God of the Bible, himself is community. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Emmanuel, God is with what? Us. Church, listen to this. On behalf of our missionaries, let me say this. When it comes to missions, none of us are as good as all of us put together. We need each other. I know the church sometimes is like Noah's Ark. We can't stand the stink on the inside. But you'd rather be in than out. It is the ark of safety. It's God. That's the only thing. I'm sorry. Jesus did not promise to build Christian organizations. He didn't promise to build seminaries and Bible colleges. There's only one thing Jesus promised to build. I will build my. You better be local church oriented if you're mission oriented. That's the only thing Jesus promised to bless and build. We need each other. We are the Corpus Christi. We are the body of Christ. We are members. Together, our missionaries are an extension of the membership of a church. That's why when one suffers, 1 Corinthians 12, all of us suffer. We need each other. This God must be made accessible in Christ as Christians. This hope of glory is no mystery, as we saw yesterday. It is a manifestation. That is why I want to encourage you. You need to be an incarnation. Just like John chapter 1 and verse 14, this Logos, became carnier, became flesh, and pitched his tent. He tabernacled. He stayed. He lived among us. These missionaries live among the people they serve. They show solidarity with those who suffer. And we must show solidarity with our missionaries. Not just pray for them. Do that. That's the beginning. That's the entry point. We need to find, as a church, ways in which we can engage with them. Do you know their children's birthdays? When was the last time they visited us? Are we part of what they're doing? Because this God is among us. I love Mark chapter 16, verse 15. As they went, the Lord began to work. I want to close. My time's up. Is there another slide, brother? Oh, I want to close with this challenge. Listen, I mean, you know this. This is the Incredibles. And you know something about the Incredibles? These superheroes can't be stopped. And you remember Syndrome, the villain? You're Baptist, you don't see movies, I think. Okay. You can rent the tape, but that's okay. No, but you remember Syndrome, the villain? He can't stop them. You know what he decides? He says, listen, he comes with a strategy. He says, you know what? I will make everybody a superhero. Then when everybody's a superhero, nobody will be a superhero. Sometimes we think everybody's doing missions. Not really. Missions is a missionary apostolo is a gift that God gives to people to go and cross culturally to the unreached. It's not just ministry, it is missional. It's going to people who have not heard. It is creating community and church. It is seeing God at work among us. Would you do that? This God is with us. It's the story of the camel. Have you heard the story of the camel in the zoo? It's very interesting. Is there a picture of the camel there at the end? Go to the last slide, brother. And let me tell you this story. The camel, the baby camel. Ah, there you go. The baby camel's talking to his mother camel. Mama, mama, can I ask you a question? Mama says, what? He says, mama, why is my skin so rough like leather? He says, well, you see, when God created you, he created you for those deserts. The desert, the sandstorms, and the sand blasts, and you'll be traveling, and you need that rough skin to take the... Oh, mama, mama, can I ask you another question? Well, what is it? Why is my nose so long? I mean, look at the other animals. They've got lovely noses. Mine's like two trumpets. What's this? Well, it says, you see, when God made you, he made you for the desert, and you have to travel miles and miles and miles, and the sandstorms come, and the sand goes into your respiratory system, and you get sick in the lungs. So this is a filter that God, oh. Mama, mama, can I ask you one more question? Well, what is it? What are these two humps on my back? Look at all the other animals. They got nice backs, very soft, and people ride them, but I got these two humps. Well, you see, when God made you, he made you for the desert. And you have to travel miles and miles and miles without any water. And so when there is an oasis, you drink water and they're like storage tanks. Oh. Mama, mama, can I ask you one more question? Well, what is it? Why are my feet so kind of slow and callous? Look at all the other animals. They've got lovely hind feet. They can jump everywhere. But mine are just so callous. Oh. I said, when God made you, he made you for the desert. And sometimes you have to travel in the sandstorms and you have to crawl on all fours. That's why you have these callous feet. Oh, mama, mama, can I ask you one more question? Well, what is it? Why am I in the zoo? Reston Bible Church. When God created us, he created us for missions. Why are you in the church? Shall we pray?